Let us pray. Open our eyes and minds to what you have for us today, O Lord. We long to love this world better and ask you to fill us with discernment, wisdom, and love for all of those that you love. Amen. Our scripture reading today is Psalm 50, verses 1 through 6, page 888. The Mighty One, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to where it sets. From Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes and will not be silent. A fire devours before him, and around him a tempest rages. He summons the heavens above and the earth that he may judge his people. Gather to me this consecrated people who made a covenant with me by sacrifice, and the heavens proclaim his righteousness, for he is a God of justice. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So our second scripture reading today is in the New Testament, Matthew 17, verses 1 through 9. It's on page 1524. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 2 or 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the word of the Lord.
Oh, I'm excited now. I get to introduce Mama Cindy. Mama Jackie and Papa Rick have known her now since 2016, I think it is. Ah. And we've done, I've done a couple of trips there, and I'm really thankful for the last trip we had, because we had a unique event that the bridge was washed out. So basically the two villages were separated by the river and we couldn't get across. So we had to go by airplane. It's a long story. But anyway, we got to know each other a lot better. And I'm telling you, this woman loves the Lord so much, and especially loves those children. And so I'm excited to introduce you, Cindy.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Can I use this little podium? Okay. It's great to be back. You know, I've been here so many times. You know, we have been together since 2013. You know, it's amazing for all the years that the Lord, let's make sure this doesn't fall down, that the Lord has been with us and you have been alongside us. And so I just want to thank you for being a part of what the Lord is doing in northern Uganda. I didn't even know where Uganda was. I don't know, how many of you actually know where it is? There's a few of you. Yeah. You went to geography class. So apparently, maybe it wasn't even a country then. It could have been named something else. But I had no clue of what that was. But I had a heart for Africa since I was little. And I felt God wanted me to go there. And it wasn't until I was 44 that God brought me to Africa the first time. And I had heard about these children who were forced to be child soldiers. And I thought, what in the world? And I asked them, would you mind taking me there? I had no idea the danger I was about to walk into. I had no idea that there was a war going on. Stupid white girl from America, okay? You know, I'm sure they were all going, what in the world are you doing here? So God brought me there, and I heard stories of children, 8 years old, 6 years old, 10 years old, saying they burned down my family's home, our family's home. They killed my mom and dad. They abducted me. They tied my arms together. They put a machete in my hand, and they said, you kill this child, or this child will kill you. Where do you put that in your mind? Where do you file that? That little children are forced to be child soldiers. How old are you two?
I'm 16.
And you?
21.
No way. Okay. Well, never mind. But the 16-year-old, he would have been a child soldier. He would have been forced to kill or be killed. And I kept hearing story after story, and I wanted to run away. I wanted to just forget about it. But can you? Once you see these faces, once you see these children face to face, can you forget it? I couldn't. I came home and I saw their faces. I saw their eyes. And God kept saying, I kept saying, God, you need to do something. And God kept saying, you need to do something. And if I had known then what I know now, I think I would have hung up the phone. I'm sorry, you have the wrong number. You know. But since that time, God has done immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine. Immeasurably more. I wish I could sit here with you and tell you all the miracles that the Lord has done. Over, I don't know how many years, people have told me you need to write a book. I just want you to know I just finished it. It's coming out in June because God has done so many things that are so incredible. But I'd like to share with you some of the things. So what do children need that have been abducted, that are orphans? What's the first thing they need?
Safety.
Exactly. So God provided 100 acres. I called it the 100 acre woods because I love Winnie the Pooh. I thought, okay, this is what I thought. We're going to build some mud huts. We're going to move all these children, hundreds of children. We're going to have school under a mango tree. Rick, is that what we have today? No, not at all. So we brought in children, little children. Bit by bit makes a bundle. That's what they say in Africa, bit by bit. And we began to see people, oh, I want to help give. Oh, I'll build a home. And I remember Stella, I will never forget her. I met her in 2008. And I brought her to the village, what we call villages, because we wanted to restore what had been taken from them. So we call them villages. And I said, what should we name this home? She said, I want to name it Love, because I want to live in love. Yeah, She made this bracelet. So we began to name the homes. Well, what else do they need? They need food. They need clothing. They need medical. They also need a school. So people started giving for a school. I don't know where this money, people always said, where did you get this money? Honestly, I have no idea. I share the story, God touches hearts, and people start giving. Organizations started giving. I'm like, who are these people? They're God's people. So we have a school. We started with elementary. You know what kids do when you start feeding them? They start growing, don't they? I kept telling the staff, we need to stop feeding them so much because it can't afford all the shoes that these kids need, right? So we had to build a high school. Some of the kids aren't cut out for academics, so we built a vocational school. We have had over 400 kids that have graduated. Now the war is over. Praise God for that. But the effects of the war continue. We call it the ripple effects. And so now, thank the Lord, these children are no longer child soldiers. And now these kids have graduated. I'm going to read a couple testimonies from those kids that have graduated. And where they are today, they are leaders in their families. They're godly leaders in their communities. They're godly leaders in the country of Africa. Two of them are in political positions, right? People say, why don't you adopt them out and bring them to the U.S.? No. The only way God can bring change is by bringing up godly leaders in their country to bring change. And we're seeing how God is bringing change. Let me share with you a couple stories. One is Patrick. There's a young man. Well, he's a young man now. He came to us. He was abducted. His mom was abducted. And in that abduction with soldiers, she was forced to be a child soldier, and she was passed around from soldier to soldier, and she gave birth to Patrick. Patrick grew up in war. He grew up, all he knew was death. All he knew was killing. All he knew was stealing. And one time the government actually rescued him. He came back and he didn't have any family. He had nobody. He didn't know how to live. He went back. But we rescued him. And when we first got him, he pulled a machete out, one of the house moms. And he should have been expelled. He should have left. But there's something called grace. And we knew that that's all he knew. That's all he knew. So I happened to be there at that time, and I said, Patrick, this is not who you are. You are not a soldier. You are not a thief. You are not a killer. You are a child of God. You're a child of God. I saw that young man transform, not just in the sternness of his face, but in his countenance. When I would come back, he had begun to learn English so well, and I would come and he would just talk my ear off. Cha, 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 cha. And God's been doing this, and I'm leading the kids in my home, and I'm doing this with the kids, and I love Jesus. And I mean, after a while, I was like, God had transformed the inside. Not just the outside, he had transformed the inside. Let me tell you about Ivan. Oh my goodness, every time I read this, I'm just amazed. Ivan, hang on, let me find Ivan. he wrote this testimony out and to put in my book. It's Ashes of War to the Halls of Justice. I was born in northern Uganda, a place once stained by the horrors of the Lord's Resistance Army. That's the war soldiers. As a child, I knew fear more than peace. I heard the sound of gunfire before I learned how to read. I witnessed lives lost before I ever understood what it meant to truly live. The nights were filled with terror. Our lives hid in the bushes, never knowing if morning would come, and food was a privilege, education was a fantasy, and survival was a miracle. I was just another faceless child in war, carrying trauma no child should ever have to bear. But in 2013, my story changed. I was abducted again, but this time by love. Village of Hope found me. They didn't see me as a victim. They saw me with potential. They offered me something more powerful than food and shelter. They gave me hope. For the first time, I had regular meals, a bed to sleep in, access to education, but even more, I found a family. People who believed in me, prayed for me, reminded me that my past did not define my future. I graduated from law school. He took the bar exam. I wrote this last year, but I just found out he passed his bar. My dream is to become a judge. Not for status, but for justice. I want to speak for those who have no voice, just like I had none. I want to turn my pain into purpose and my past into a platform to inspire others. From the ashes of war to the halls of justice, the Lord used Village of Hope to transform my life. I'm not just a survivor. I'm a testimony of what hope, faith, and opportunity can do. Is that a miracle? Praise God. Can I get a praise God? Praise God. Amen. I mean, it just blows me away. You know, I honestly thought at the beginning we were going to have mud huts, right? And put the kids in school under a mango tree. Does that look like a mango tree school? Does that look like... God had bigger and better plans. The verse that I want tattooed on my chest when I die. Maybe I'll do that now. Ephesians 3:20, for God can do immeasurably more. He does immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. He did immeasurably more with these children than I could ever ask or imagine. Currently, we have had over 400 children graduate. Currently, we have 350 kids in elementary, and we have 128 in high school, 122 in vocational, and also right now in university and other skill training, we have 87. There's been over 1,000 kids that have gone through our program. We have nurses, we have medical assistants. Like I said, we have 3 students that have graduated from law school. The other 2 are waiting for their bar exam. We have civil engineers, we have construction workers, we have somebody that has started their own mechanic shop. I mean, we have teachers. We have some teachers that are at our school. One of our boys, Caesar, I've known him since this big. He's our IT guy at the high school. To see our kids growing up and bringing change, and not just at our village. I mean, they do stuff voluntarily after they graduate, but they help each other once they get out. Some of the guys were living in a hut together, and there was one of the boys that was really struggling. And they said, come on, you come and stay with us. Because they didn't grow up with these kids. They chose them as their family. These are their chosen family. I want to show you a video of some of our kids that are in high school, and they sang this song to me in October, and Janet and I were, and we were just like bawling. So I'd like to show you this video now.
Yes. In front of you here are students from Village of Paul Vocational School. We are here to sing for you one song, and it says, Chosen Family. Stay blessed as you listen. Thanks.
Chosen family, and you guys are our chosen family too. We couldn't do what we do without you. You guys have been praying for us. You guys have been praying for me, for my health, for all these years. It's amazing what we can do together There's a proverb in Africa that says, if you want to go faster, go alone. If you want to go farther, go together. And we have gone farther in the lives of these children. And you guys have been a part of that, and I can't thank you enough. We would like to ask that you would continue to pray for us. I'm getting older. You see the gray? Older and slower. Janet's older than me. I won't tell you how old she is. I'm going to get hit then when we get back. But we also, many of you sponsor kids. And I know that you could share so many stories of how much those children mean to you. Encourage your friends to also sponsor kids. It's not just about finances. You are their chosen family. You invite them into your home and your lives. I've gone to so many homes where they have a picture of their sponsor child on their refrigerator, on their family photo area. And because they're a part of your family, you pray for them, you encourage them. When you send a picture, they just think that that's the best thing since sliced bread, you know. Yeah, that doesn't really work over there, but anyway. So you can sponsor a child, you can choose to donate on a monthly basis, a one-time. Go out there and shop. 100% of that goes to support our children. And the women that made that used to be child soldiers and child mothers. So it pays them as well. All of these things support our children. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you. Or as we say in Uganda, Afoyo. Afoyo Matek.